Like, if you're going to start dating that person, or if you're going to marry that person, or if you're going to go to college, or if you're going to choose this career or that career. Many choices to make. But then there's the most important choice that every single person must make. And the consequences of that choice are eternal. The Bible says the consequences of that choice are the difference between heaven and hell. Question is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins? What will you do with Jesus, the Son of God, who on the third day rose again and is alive today, and I believe in our midst? What will you do with him? Will you receive him, embrace him, worship him? Or will you reject him? There is a tragic example in Scripture of a choice concerning Jesus. And it happened on that very first Good Friday. I'm going to read this story to you. Just listen as I read. It says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy." So picture this scene in your mind. Jesus is standing before Pilate, the governor. It's an open forum. There's a crowd. And Pilate is in a very precarious situation, isn't he? He's the Roman-approved governor of the region of Judea. You know what his main job was? His main job was to keep the peace. Make sure there's no riots, no uproars in the city. And now the religious leaders of the Jews have delivered Jesus into his hands. They want him destroyed. Pilate knows that Jesus is an innocent man. Pilate knows that Jesus should be released, but he also knows that if he releases Jesus, there's going to be an uproar. And so he's in that tough spot that politicians sometimes find themselves in. At that time, there was a custom that at that time of the year, you could release one of the prisoners. One prisoner at that time was released to the crowd. And Pilate tries to make use of that custom. So before the crowd, you have Jesus here, and he brings out this other guy, Barabbas, over here. Barabbas, as it says specifically in the text, is a notorious criminal. We are told in the Gospels that he was a murderer, that he was an insurrectionist. Barabbas was the modern-day equivalent of an Osama bin Laden. He was a revolutionary terrorist, most wanted, life of crime, cruel beyond measure. Will it be Barabbas? And then over here you have Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He never did anything wrong. In fact, he healed people. He went around healing people of their sickness, causing the blind to see, causing the lepers to be cleansed. Jesus taught the truth. He taught about love and compassion, and he reached out to people. And just think of it, the spotless Lamb of God over here and a condemned, convicted, murderous terrorist over here. And this is the choice that's put before the people. By the way, the only reason Jesus was a prisoner was because the religious leaders were jealous of him. And they handed him over. And really, the only reason Jesus was a prisoner was because he allowed himself to be arrested. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came specifically for that moment. and to be handed over for crucifixion for the sins of the world. So there they are. They're the two choices. Who do they choose? Verse 20 says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. Understand that that crowd was riled up by religious leaders. Religious leaders who were jealous of Jesus. But that crowd is still responsible because they're allowing themselves to be misled, deceived. They're not thinking for themselves. They chose Barabbas over Jesus. Set Barabbas free. Crucify Jesus. There's something very interesting going on if you look at the name of Barabbas. Jesus is called, he goes by a title, the Son of God. And Jesus in the gospel referred to God as his Father. He's the Son of the Father. Did you know that that name Barabbas means Son of the Father? Bar, Son of, Abba, Son of the Father. Some of the most ancient copies of the scriptures also refer to Barabbas as Jesus Barabbas. Because, you know, Jesus was a common name in those days, like John today. And if that's true, if his first name was Jesus, Jesus Barabbas, you have Jesus, the Son of a Father. Jesus, the Son of a Father over here. Barabbas, the Son of the Father, a false one. The violent Son of the Father. The counterfeit Son of the Father. The wicked Son of the Father. Jesus, the perfect Son of the Father. So you put that in perspective like that, and who did the crowd choose? The wicked one. The false one. And you need to understand this morning that the world in general rejects the genuine and accepts the counterfeit. In fact, the Bible teaches that in the last days there's going to be a world leader that comes on the scene. We call him students of the Bible, we refer to him as the Antichrist. And Jesus even said in his day, he said, I come in the name of my Father and you don't receive me. Another person's going to come in his own name and you're going to receive him. The world is going to receive the false. Not many will receive the genuine. The mob made their choice. It needs to be said, however, that Pilate also made a choice, didn't he? It goes on to say, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Pilate tried to weasel out of the responsibility, didn't he? He washed his hands. Hey, I'm staying distant. This is your deal. I'm going to be neutral. I'm just going to release him. He was trying to weasel out of the responsibility, but did it work? Absolutely not. Pilate was just as responsible. Pilate was the power in charge. He knew that man should be set free. He didn't set that man free. And for the last 2,000 years, according to the Apostles' Creed, it's been written that Jesus suffered under the hands of Pontius Pilate. He's culpable. So it's interesting. You have really three groups of people that have a choice to make about Jesus. There are the religious leaders. They're decidedly against. And then you have this mass of people that are just going along through life trusting their religious leaders, not thinking for themselves, and missing out on the gem of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ. And then you have the group like Pilate that just stays neutral. I'm not going to make any decision. I've heard of Jesus. I think Jesus is pretty cool, but I'm not for him or against him. I'm staying neutral. All three of those people choose wrong. Did you know that Jesus is very, very interested in what people think of him? Jesus even asked his disciples one day, "Hey, who do men say that I am?" And then, of course, Peter said, "I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You've chosen wisely." I ask you this afternoon, what choice have you made? Have you received Christ? Have you embraced him? Are you the person that stays neutral and, like Pilate, lets the voices of the crowd prevail? "Oh, I would follow Jesus maybe, but all my friends at school might make fun of me. I'd lose all my popularity." Stand for Jesus Christ. Choose him. Now you might say, "Well, how do I choose Jesus Christ? How do I embrace him?" You need to understand something. You need to understand what it is we're remembering. You need to understand why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, came here, and died on a cross, and on the third day rose again. Why did he have to do that? Because we are sinners. We have all sinned and we've fallen short from the glory of God, and our sin separates us from God. Our sin is worthy of punishment, condemnation. The Bible says if an innocent, perfect substitute were willing to come and take the judgment for sinners, then sinners could be declared righteous and be forgiven. And that is what Christ did. He came, he went to the cross, he took all of my sins upon him, all of your sins upon him, all of the sins of the human race from beginning to future. He experienced the wrath of God. He had to say to his Father, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" Think of what he did. To receive Christ is to receive what he did. To receive him as your Savior. To come to him personally and admit, "Yep, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I need forgiveness." And to confess, "Yep, you came and you died on the cross for my sins and you've risen again. And your offer of salvation is free. It's a gift. I take it. I receive it. Lord Jesus, be my Savior." That's how you embrace. That's how you receive. And let me tell you, when you do that, all of your sins are forgiven, and buckle your seatbelt because the Lord is taking you for a ride. An adventurous life. A life of satisfaction and hope and purpose and joy. There are some beautiful aspects of this story that speak of what happens when a person places their faith in Christ. You remember Pilate washes his hands of the blood, and the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now, what were they saying? They were saying, "We'll take full responsibility for it. Don't worry about it. Give us the full responsibility. But you know, actually, what they said is a beautiful description of what every single person needs. We need the blood of Jesus Christ upon us. And our children. And our grandchildren. And my friend, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, His shed blood is applied to you. You're washed. You're cleansed at that very moment. And then very quickly, think of Barabbas. Think of this condemned criminal. It says, then Pilate released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Who's worthy of death? Who's worthy of the judgment? Barabbas, right? Christ literally died in that man's place. And who went free? The sinner. That is a picture of what happens when you receive Christ. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. But when we place our faith in Christ, His death, His sacrifice is substituted for the one you earn, you deserve to get. He dies in your place. Commenting on Barabbas, Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote, this is interesting, he was the only man in the world who could say that Jesus Christ took his physical place. Think of that. But I can say that Jesus Christ took my spiritual place. For it was I who deserved to die. It was I who deserved the wrath of God. I deserve the eternal punishment of the lake of fire. He was delivered up for my offenses. He was handed over to judgment because of my sins. Christ was my substitute. He was satisfying the debt of divine justice and holiness. That is why I say that Christianity can be expressed in these three phrases. I deserved hell. Jesus took my hell. There's nothing left for me but His heaven. What a moment as we sit at the Lord's table to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And what a moment for those of us who have to be emboldened in our faith. Amen. Encouraged in our faith. We are going to hand out these elements. These are for believers in Christ. Only if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior can you take these. Bible says if you take them not knowing what they represent, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. You don't want to do that. So before we hand them out, I would like to lead you in a prayer. If you've never received Christ, if you've never embraced Him, then you're going to have that opportunity. Don't wait. This is the perfect time. We don't know how many more Good Fridays or Easter Sundays we'll have left. On a warm autumn evening in 1871, D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago's Farwell Hall from this passage where Pilate says, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" Our eternal destiny, Moody Thunder, depends on our answer to Pilate's question, what shall I do with Jesus? At the conclusion of his sermon, Moody said, I wish you would take this text home with you and turn it over in your minds during the week, and next Sabbath we will decide what to do with Jesus of Nazareth. But there was no next Sabbath. As soloist Ira Sankey closed the meeting singing, "Today the Savior calls," his voice was suddenly drowned out by the cries of alarm. The great Chicago fire had started and was sweeping toward the hall. That fire burned the city. There was not another Sabbath meeting the next week. Moody, for the rest of his ministry, regretted telling people to wait and think on it. The time is now. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. we just simply say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for paying the price for our sins. If you're here and you've never personally received Christ, then you need to do so right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Right there quietly where you sit. Just simply ask Jesus to be yours, to be your Savior. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Paying the price for me. I admit I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. So come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Make me your child. And help me to follow you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then you need to share that with somebody up here after this service. But I would say participate now in the partaking of these elements. I ask that you hold them and we'll all take them together as a body, and that we stay in an attitude of reverence, prayer, and worship as we distribute.